So there's a letter sitting on your kitchen table from the IRS, and you're trying to figure out how bad it is. That's who we're talking to. And the FY 2025 enforcement numbers actually help with that, weirdly.
They do, because they tell you what kind of machine you're dealing with. The IRS closed 497,621 audits in fiscal year 2025. And recommended $26.8 billion in additional tax.
497,621. Okay. And that's the scary headline number.
That's the headline, and it's the smallest of the three engines. The Automated Underreporter Program, that's the CP2000 program, closed 987,460 cases with $5.9 billion assessed. And Automated Substitute for Return closed 592,773 cases, close to $2.9 billion.
Wait, so the automated stuff is...
bigger. Combined, those two closed 1,580,233 cases, more than three times all the traditional audits put together.
So the thing most people are scared of, an examiner going through their return... is the least likely contact.
Right. Said 497,621 closed audits against 271.4 million returns and documents the IRS processed. And a traditional audit touched fewer than two in every 1,000 filings. But that number gets quoted as if it's your whole risk, and it isn't. Add the automated cases and you're over 2 million enforcement contacts in 1 year, most of them generated without a human opening a file.
Say more about what AUR actually is. Plain.
It's document matching. A computer compares every W-2 and 1099 filed under your Social Security number against what your return reported. Something's missing? It mails you a CP2000, proposing additional tax, plus penalties and interest. No one examined your records. Nobody suspected you of anything.
And the amounts are smaller.
Average AUR assessment ran about $6,000 a case. Audits averaged roughly $54,000 in recommended tax. But that pool includes enormous corporate and high-income exams, so a typical individual case is nowhere near that.
Okay, here's the part I want you to hit hard. Because I think people get a CP2000, the number looks official, and they just check the agreement box.
And that's often the most expensive move available. The proposed amount is frequently wrong in the IRS's favor. The computer sees gross proceeds. It doesn't see your cost basis, your business expenses, a rollover. So if you had a 1099 NEC from consulting, the computer taxes the whole thing. It has no idea about your mileage, your software, your phone, home office.
So the number can shrink.
The proposal can be disputed with documentation. What you control is whether you check that box before you've compared the notice against your own records. That's the whole ballgame on a CP2000.
Deadline?
ACP2000 typically gives you 30 days. And ignoring it doesn't make it go away. It converts. It moves into the deficiency process and becomes a legally binding assessment.
Let's do substitute for return, because that's the other 592,773 people.
Non-filers. If you don't file, the IRS eventually files for you. It builds a return from every W-2 and 1099 it received, with zero deductions, zero credits, and the least favorable filing status, usually single or married filing separately.
Oh, that's brutal for a married couple.
No joint brackets, no dependents. So the balance is almost always higher than what a real return would show. The fix is usually filing your own accurate return, which the IRS will generally process in place of its substitute.
And there's a clock thing here too, right? You mentioned it before we started.
Yeah, this is the part people miss. A substitute return doesn't start the audit and collection statute clocks the way a return you file does. Until you actually file, the assessment window stays open indefinitely. There's no 3 years, no 6 years. It hasn't started.
Okay, transcripts. You said these cases leave fingerprints.
Often weeks before the letter shows up. Code 424 is an examination request, a referral, and plenty of those never become full exams. Code 420 means an exam is actually open. Code 922 is a review of unreported income, so that's the AUR side. Code 570 with a 971 means there's a hold on the account and a notice went out. And code 290 means additional tax got assessed.
Give me those again. 922 is the AUR one. 420 is exam open?
Correct. 922, unreported income review. CP 2000 may follow. 420, exam underway. And 290 is when the proposal became real money on your account.
What happens if somebody just doesn't open the mail? Walk the stages.
It escalates on a schedule. Initial contact, CP 2000, an exam letter like letter 566, or a substitute return proposal. Then a statutory notice of deficiency, CP 3219A, which gives you 90 days to petition the U.S. Tax Court. Miss that and the proposed tax becomes final without anyone hearing your side. Then assessment. That's the code 290. Then a CP 14 bill, roughly 21 days. Then CP 501, CP 503, CP 504. At that point, the IRS can take your state refund and a federal lien becomes live. Then LT11, a final notice, 30-day clock before wage garnishment and bank levies.
And collection due process is where in that?
At the LT11 stage, you request those rights on Form 12153. Form 12153.
The other thing in this data, IRS staffing is down about 27%. Doesn't that mean this all slows down?
Humans are harder to reach. The automated notices, assessments, and levies never stopped. The machine escalates whether or not anybody answers the phone.
So if it's already assessed, options.
Same doors as any IRS balance, and which one's open depends on the amount and your finances. Pay in full stops accrual. A short-term plan if it's payable within 180 days. There's the guaranteed installment agreement. That's the statutory one. Individual income tax debt of $10,000 or less with a compliant filing history. And approval is required by law when those conditions are met. Long-term installment agreements up to $50,000. Currently not collectible, if financials show paying would prevent basic living expenses. Collection pauses, but the debt stays and interest keeps growing. And offer in compromise, where assets plus future income genuinely can't cover the debt.
Every one of those is means tested.
Every one. And on the exam side, you also have appeal rights before an independent appeals officer, plus audit reconsideration after assessment if you have new records. Penalty relief is separate. First-time abatement or reasonable cause, free to ask. And some relief becomes automatic starting summer 2026.
Be honest about the hard part.
The hard part is sequence and proof. If you've got missing returns, feeding a substitute return balance, or an exam expanding into multiple years, the order matters. Returns first, then penalties, then the balance. And if you're claiming expenses against the 1099, you need to substantiate them. Nobody takes your word for it. Also, any company promising an assessed balance just disappears is selling against these statistics, not with them.
And plenty of this is a kitchen table job.
Honestly, yes. If the CP 2000 is simply right, you forgot a 1099, the math checks out. You can pay it or put it on a simple plan. Check the box, request penalty abatement yourself, done. Don't pay anyone for that.
So next steps, today.
Find the letter number and the response date, top or bottom right corner. That code tells you which of the three programs has your file. Then gather three things, the notice, the return for the year it names, and every W-2 and 1099 you got that year. That's the exact data set the IRS matched against. Pull your wage and income transcript and compare line by line before you agree to anything.
And if you want a second set of eyes on the actual letter, Clarity's enrolled agents will review it free and map the deadlines. 888-825-7779. Interest and penalties compound on an assessed balance every month it sits. So the date on that notice is the thing that decides what's still open.